Time to take a look at what's going on around Wisconsin. We have a cornucopia of cultural delights, as Jim Packard likes to say. And Mary Bergen likes to say that, too. I think Mary is the author of Sidetracked in Wisconsin, a guide for thoughtful travelers. She also writes the Roads Traveled column, which appears in 11 daily newspapers in Wisconsin. She's a member of the Midwest Travel Writers Association, board member of the Society of American Travel Writers, and, of course, author of Sidetracked in Wisconsin. It's published by Itchy Cat Press, and really pleased to have her back. We've talked about the book with her in the past, but it's always fun to talk about what's going on around Wisconsin, and certainly we invite your questions, your comments. Maybe there's something you want to ask about, or maybe there's something you a delight that you want to talk about in relationship to Wisconsin. Join us at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. We'd be glad to get you on the air. Mary Bergen, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Larry. Good to be here.
Nice to have you back. Now, your column, tell us about your column. Okay. I know your column, but some may not. So,
well, I began the column back in 2002 as a way to fill a gap that I saw in travel coverage. I think that in Wisconsin we have many great destinations, great attractions, little known attractions that tend to fall under the radar, it's easy to get generic travel information from a variety of sources, but when it comes to places that are close to home, that's what we were missing. And so I started writing that after running the idea past a couple of editors and do syndicate it throughout the state. And the content tends to be about Wisconsin or its border cities or its global connections on some cases. I am glad to be able to feature our smaller towns in particular. I think that there are a lot of gems there, and I think that the whole definition of rural living is changing so much because of technology. We can live just about any place we want and continue our jobs. We don't need to be in urban areas. We realize the quality of the good life in a country setting. Chefs, I think, in particular, are showing that they're eager to migrate to smaller towns for a good quality of life.
It's and the chef part of it, just to go that line, there are some small towns, and you go to these towns, and there's a restaurant. Just a gourmet restaurant.
Yes, and I'm thinking about the first time I was on your show, a listener called in and asked, where are great dining spots in rural Wisconsin? Mm-hmm. And we came up with a few ideas, but but that truly became the impetus for a second book that I'll have out at the end of summer called Hungry for Wisconsin. It doesn't just deal with restaurants in rural areas. It doesn't just deal with fine dining. It doesn't, blueberry orchard near Hixton, makes the cut. There are all kinds of good things. But thanks to you and your listener for planting that seed.
Well, that's wonderful. And certainly when that's coming out in August, September?
Late August, early September.
Okay, we'll definitely get you back on to talk about that when that comes up.
And this first book deals more with, there are some dining spots, certainly, but, there are other pure mini destination pieces.
Well, romance is one, you take a look at, and I loved the story you wrote about Canoe Bay.
Mm.
It's a romantic location.
It sure is, and it's really isolated, truly isolated, near Chautauqua, in the northwest part of our state, and kind of near Rice Lake. The architecture of the property is stunning. Anybody who's a fan of Frank Lloyd Wright will appreciate what there is. It's a very high-end property, something that you would not necessarily expect to find in this part of Wisconsin. It is a relatively quietly run operation, which means you don't see a lot of advertising. And I gather that there is no need because word gets around that this is a great place, not just for an overnight stay, but excellent food. And, you know, you can dine in a private wine cellar, you know, make it very romantic, just the two of you. The types of accommodations range from a room, which is... well, you know, I mean, you think hotel room. This is not hotel room. This is, you know, spacious living, but all the way to freestanding kind of a mini lodge of, let's see, 2,000 square feet plus a 1,500 square foot wraparound deck. You know, that goes for $1,800 a night. The room on the lower end would be $350 a night. So and there are 23 units altogether. These are meant for couples. You know, you think of that big space and think, oh, we could get the whole family in there.
No,
not what it's about.
No.
It's an intimate space for couples. And
in relation to the book, your book, you've got a little story about it in there, but also it's kind of typical, I think, of what you have for each item that you have in the book and that you tell people how to get there and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a nice thing about the book, because the contact information and all that and how to get there is all included for each of the stories that you have in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we mentioned food, and Norwegian pancakes come to mind. Jim Packard's never had a Norwegian pancake.
Then he's not been to the Delta Diner.
what's a well? Let me hear you describe a Norwegian pancake.
Well, this is what the chef told me, that it's because I said they look like a lot like Swedish pancakes to me. And the chef said, well, it depends on who's doing the cooking. So very much the similarity there. It's a lighter pancake and sweeter. And I think that if you called it Swedish, you wouldn't be too far off the mark.
I think you're right.
But it's not one of those big fat buckwheat pancakes, you know. It's
but they're good.
Lighter fare.
But they're
yeah.
good. And the Delta
the kind
Diner?
You don't even need syrup on.
Yeah. Well, now the Delta Diner. Tell us about that.
It's in the middle of nowhere. Also, it's I think it's technically Bayfield County, but southern part.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the middle of National Forest. Schwamgen National Forest. It is you know, when I was there, it was all by itself. It just was a shocker to round you know
round the bend, and
yeah,
there it
and
is.
Then there it is, this, you know, nice shiny diner. I think it's from like the 1940s. It's mm-hmm. a restored Silk City diner that was brought from the East Coast. And the operator of the diner used to live in Fond du Lac. If I remember right, he was in advertising. But now he, you know, likes this change of life. His wife operates a coffee shop called Taste Buds. That's something new since I was there.
Nina was his wife, yeah.
Yeah. And she's opening up a Taste Buds right next to the diner. There's also talk, because I went on the website this morning, I just wanted to refresh myself about what was going on there. And, you know, they're adding a farmer's market, you know, daily during the height of summer and then on Mondays on the shoulder seasons. It is a great little place. And you would think, well, who will come to this little diner in the middle of nowhere? And again, in summer, because there's canoeing nearby. But it's not really on the route to anything. It's not like, oh, yeah, when I go from, you know, Bayfield back to Madison, I'll have to take a quick swing off to go to the diner. You really have to work a little bit to mm-hmm. get there. People like that. Some people really like that because if what you find at the end is a gem, and this one truly is, then you feel like you've uncovered this treasure. And
as you point out in your book, you can, aside from those pancakes, they'll have specials, the wild rice turkey casserole or maybe some Cajun red beans and rice.
Right. That's a good point because it's not typical diner fare. I mean, certainly there are some things that would be standard, but, and I don't know what you think of when you think of the word diner, but this is like I said, this shiny,
yeah, you've got a great photo of it in your book. It looks like a diner that you might find in a city, in a way.
Yeah, yeah. It's very nice. And in the diner fare, I mean, it's not like a, it's not Greasy Spoon, even though, there's a great charm about Greasy Spoon diners, mm-hmm. too. But, I mean,
sure.
That's just not what we have here. Todd, the owner, does a nice job of introducing different pieces of culinary cuisine. He'll have what did I see on the online this morning? Curried prawns, large shrimp. This is tends to be a breakfast lunch place. I think they're open on Fridays for a fish fry too, and seasonally. But red beans and rice. Memphis barbecue plate, omelets that are oven baked. So
I haven't had lunch yet. You're making me hungry. Mary Bergen, our guest today, author of Sidetracked in Wisconsin, A Guide for Thoughtful Travelers. We're talking with her about some of the great things that that you find here in Wisconsin, oftentimes in small towns or out-of-the-way places. You may have a question or comment, or maybe you've got an idea about a place sort of off the beaten track or in a small town that really appeals to you, and we'd love to hear from you about that, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890, and you can email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller, Jim Packard, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about great places in Wisconsin, some fun things, some wonderful experiences that you can have often in small towns or out-of-the-way places. Our guest, Mary Bergen, who is author of Sidetracked in Wisconsin, got another book coming out about food in Wisconsin later on this year, and we'll have her back for that. But for now, what are those places that kind of inspire you or you get a kick out of being visiting? We'd love to hear from you at 800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. Wisconsin, before we, Ruth, we'll get to you in just a second here, but Wisconsin, we really have an incredible diversity in this state and with some very accomplished people and a large level of modesty, too.
That's right. And, I relate to the modesty. I buy into it largely, but I do know that it also prompts people in general, meaning, from the coast or wherever, to lump us together with mm-hmm. everybody else, Michigan, Iowa, mm-hmm. Minnesota, and you are all flyover country.
Yeah.
You're very nice, but you're very boring. So we have to do something about that.
Ruth and Cable, thanks for waiting. Hello.
Hi. We live in Cable part-time. We're from Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to just comment on the Delta Diner. It really is not quite in the middle of nowhere. It's if you're on Highway 63, which is a main highway, and you go between Drummond and Iron River, it's on that road.
Yep.
Thanks for clarifying. Yeah.
And then the other thing I wanted to mention is we have a couple of places in Cable, and I don't know if you mentioned these, but one is brand new. As far as I'm talking about restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard about the brand new place, but I love to hear your insider advice about what makes it great and different.
Oh, okay. Well, the one you may have mentioned in your book is the Brick House. Did you mention that?
Nope, sorry.
Well, that's right in Cable, and it's a couple from this area took an old house, and they've charmingly redone it, and they have lunch and dinner. And a lot of, you know, community events are also held there, and they also cater. And it has a lovely porch, and it's just a great place to stop. A lot of people don't think of Cable as a stopping place, but really it is now. And then this year, there was an old market called the Ideal Market. A couple from Minneapolis sold their lake home and bought this beautiful building. And in the front is a gourmet grocery store and a soda fountain where you can get breakfast stuff and you can get lunch and drinks and ice cream. But they also have wine, they have cheeses, and many other things. And then in the back, there's a large space they've turned into a cafe called the River Cafe. And they told me that it's a brick oven pizza place. Mm. They got the brick oven on eBay. And then they built a beautiful surround for the brick oven that's like river rocks. And it has a stunning bar, and they have all kinds of beer and wine. And each of the pizzas that they have are named after a local river. Like the Brule pizza, rivers in the area, the Namekagon. And it's just a charming place. It's next to the post office and Cable. So I just wanted to mention those places. As well, there's a couple of just beautiful gift shops, two or three in the Cable area, too, if people are, want to stop here. It's well worth it.
Is there a coffee shop or cafe that also is an art gallery?
Not right in Cable. In the old schoolhouse, there was a coffee shop for a while. But now this place, the Ideal Market and River Cafe, is a coffee shop in the front. I should have mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
And that used to be, that building was for a while an art gallery and so forth. But not a coffee shop and art gallery together in Cable at the moment.
Okay, very good.
But I just
Thank
did
you
want
very
to
much.
Mention those places.
Appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it very much. And so there's another stop. And by the way, Ruth, Mary was making notes.
Always do. This is how we keep on plugging ahead. I would never pretend to know. I know the state better now than I did 6 years ago, but I would never pretend to know everything about it. So I love it when the local people or people who have gone out on adventures come up with their own and share them.
Todd in Minong, your turn. Hi, Todd.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Good
morning.
Hello.
I'm not too far from your previous caller there. But I had just turned on the radio, and I heard you mention a Todd that made Norwegian pancakes. Well, I'm also a Todd that makes Norwegian pancakes, and I've been making them forever. It's a recipe my grandmother had, where she never wrote anything down, but my aunts kind of peeked over her shoulder. And then my mother started making them for us, and I just loved them. So I got the recipe, and now I've been having pancake breakfast forever. I can't invite everybody over to my place. I don't have any restaurants to recommend, but they're delicious. And like I say, it's a difficult recipe to make, really. Mine is anyway. But because my mom was all Norwegian, I decided to call them Norwegian pancakes. They weren't called them that before. So in her honor, I had these pancake breakfasts, and I was a teacher, and I'd always have the staff over. And after I retired now, I'm up here, and I have a lot of people over every once in a while just for these pancakes. And it's fun.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds great. Sounds like you should consider opening a breakfast place.
Or at least writing down the recipe and letting the rest of us email that recipe to me. Will you, Todd? At Wisconsin Public Radio. Go on the website and get my address and email it to me, because I'd like to try it, even though it is hard to do. Thanks a lot. Oh, man. Amy and Madison, your turn. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. What's on your mind?
Well, I had one thing on my mind that I called for, and then you mentioned a cafe art gallery, and I'm thinking of the Creamery in Paoli.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know of the Creamery?
You bet.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great place. But I've called about a place in Onalaska, Wisconsin.
And it's, what's that place? Oh, did we lose you?
Uh-oh.
Oh, nuts. cell phone died or out of the area or something.
Please call back.
Call back, Amy. Let's go to Molly and Madison. Molly, hello.
Hi. I was wondering if you had any fun things to do or great places to eat around Merrill, Wisconsin, in that central Wisconsin area.
All right.
Well, I like, there's a Merrill Diner that I think has real good chicken dumpling soup. But now I have to refresh my memory about what that place is called specifically. It's downtown, and it's been around for a long time. And I ate there a couple of years ago, and it was fine. That's the place that comes to mind. Now, being in the Wausau area, there's a place called Back When Cafe, if I remember right, downtown, mm-hmm. which is, I remember the architecture being real interesting. It's an older building, and, you know, one room is like all kind of an antique motif, and then another room is more of an industrial design, sleeker lines and things like that, but a real mindful use of local ingredients and entrees that are done well.
Mm.
Okay, that sounds cool. Thank you so much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Stay listening. Maybe somebody from Merrill will call up with some other ideas as well. By the way, you can call up with your suggestions or your questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890 as we visit with Mary Bergen about the cultural delights in Wisconsin, especially those that are kind of off the beaten track. Melissa in Dodgeville is up next. Hi, Melissa.
Hey.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm calling to talk about Folklore Village, of course.
Oh, sure.
And you both know of it, I'm sure.
Sure.
We are a cultural arts center, and we do programs mainly on weekends. Our name is a little bit misleading. We're not the sort of village where you just come out and walk around, mm-hmm. but we do a bunch of different programming throughout the... And in August, we have the Midwest Folklife Festival. My phone is cutting in and out. August 23rd and 24th.
August 23rd and 24th?
Yep, and it's free. It's 12 till 7 both days.
Is that a festival that comes here, maybe every couple years?
We do it every three.
Every
right.
3 years, okay.
We do it with Iowa and Illinois, and we're the Wisconsin site for it, so it rotates between those three states. So it's a huge honor for us to be the Wisconsin site. We have 14 different artists lined up and a bunch of different musicians.
You have a lovely property. When I think of Folklore Village, I think of contra dancing. I don't know if the contra dancers still go out there.
Oh,
but
you bet they do.
Yeah, it's a beautiful setting for that. And do they still have the summer solstice?
The Midsummer Festival.
Yeah, where there's dance all night. And, right?
We try our best to dance all night anyway. Yeah, that's July 3rd through 6th, and that's a family affair.
Good.
And we actually still have openings, so if people want to come to that, they sure can. You have to register for it.
And you have a potluck, too, probably?
We have potluck. Uh-huh. Potluck suppers throughout the summer. In August, we actually have a homemade ice cream social that's a potluck supper. That's a lot of fun for the full family.
I think it's a great place, and I think that the whole concept behind the place is important because you're working hard to make sure that certain cultural traditions don't die and
exactly.
pass from generation to generation.
Exactly.
Now give us the date again, Melissa, and the times for...
Midwest Folkway Festival is August 23rd and 24th.
Okay.
It's from 12 until 7 p.m.
And...
There's music, there'll be concerts, there'll be dancing, there'll be narrative sessions, a bunch of different artists showing, you know, demonstrating how they do these different traditions.
I can't remember. Do you have a website?
Of course we do.
That's why I was pretty sure you did.
Folklorevillage.org.
Folklorevillage.org.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Melissa.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. And it is a very, very neat place. Kay in Maryland. Your turn. Hi, Kay.
Hi. I have three places to recommend.
All right.
Great.
One is Black River Falls, mm-hmm. and on the Highway 12 exit, it used to be the Country Kitchen. Now it's the Sunrise Cafe, and they have the most wonderful Albanian chicken.
Albanian chicken, huh?
Albanian chicken. The guys that own the place now are from Albania, and I've never had chicken like this. And then the next place is on Highway 10 in Mondovi, and it's an ice cream stand, and the lady there is from Frankfurt, Germany, and she makes German hamburgers with sauerkraut. Those are wonderful.
Wow. So that's probably open just seasonally, huh?
No, they're open year-round.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you don't know it's a restaurant. It looks like an ice cream stand, but it's so good. You can tell I like food. And then the next place is in Stockholm, Wisconsin. The third Saturday in July, they have the Stockholm Art Show. And they have a population of 99 people, and for the art show goes up to about 10,000. It's right on the Mississippi River, and they've got this little cafe, outdoor cafe. Oh, it's amazing. So those are my favorite places.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate that. And, you know, there's, I think with $4 gas, mm-hmm. there's less, and the price of airline tickets and everything else, I've been reading a bit about the fact that people are looking for close to home or someplace, you know, a
right.
couple hours or 3 hours, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's a little cheaper than flying to Disney or someplace.
And there's great diversity close to home. And I'm thinking about a friend who organizes, that he calls it Europe in Your Backyard, bike tours, Southwest Wisconsin communities. Can you find out more about it at culturetouring.com.
Culturetouring.com.
C-U-L-T-U-R-E, touring.com. But, you know, you're looking at communities like Mineral Point, New Glarus, artisan product producers, be it cheesemakers or small farms. And then, of course, you know, great beer, New Glarus beer. Would be one way to feel like you're going farther away, even though you're really just in Wisconsin.
Beatrice in Viroqua. We'll turn to you now. Hi, Beatrice.
Hello. Yes. We're in the Driftless area, and I'm talking here about several things in Viroqua. One is the Driftless Fair Traders. They are located in the historic Fortney Hotel, and they have things from all over the world, and it not only helps the people here, but it helps the people over in Africa or South America. And we have right up the street a Driftless Cafe, and we have the historic Temple Theater there. And, of course, this summer, it'll be the Wild West Days, and that's in August. So you can go to Wild West Days and whoop it up and go to the Temple Theater for a program and shop at the Driftless Fair Traders and eat at the Driftless Cafe and also the place on Main Street right next to the theater.
Sounds
and
like a
course, full
weekend.
And, of course, there's the Viking, which are my relatives, and I sure recommend it, that food, too.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Beatrice. These are great calls. I'm loving all these calls. Adrian in Arena is up next. Hi, Adrian.
Yeah, I'm from Arena, which is pretty much unknown, and I'm close to the Madison area and the Spring Green area, like right in between. So I have two great places. One is in Arena, and it's behind the Citgo gas station. Hard to find, but worth it. And it's called the Luke and Booth Cafe.
Ooh, that's a great name.
Oh, it comes from the owners. It's the little brooch that they give each other at their wedding. And Luke and Booth is locked in a brooch that's locked up is what it actually means.
Mm.
And it's great for breakfast, lunch, dinner. They make everything from scratch there. And a lot of it is... what ethnicity could I say? She's Irish, so it would be a lot of Irish things. Breakfast, they have three or four different kinds of sausages to go with your eggs and your hash browns. And they have homemade pies. I was there yesterday, actually, and got a homemade pie, a raspberry ribbon pie. It was fabulous. And so they're always a good place to stop. Hard to find, but worth it. And then the other one is in Black Earth, and it's David W. Heine's.
Mm-hmm.
And they serve steaks and American fare and cocktails that you wouldn't believe, and they just are a wonderful little place to stop for dinner. They're open from 4 o'clock. They start serving at 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock Tuesday through Saturday.
Uh-huh.
I work there, so I guess I'm plugging the home. But before I worked there, I ate there, and it really is worth a trip.
Oh, sounds wonderful to
me. It sounds really good.
We were in the Discover Wisconsin restaurant. We were voted the restaurant of the month in March of this year.
Well, Adrian, I thank you very much for calling.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. And, you know, he mentioned pies. I remember once talking, this is several years back, when Howard Mead still had Wisconsin Trails magazine, and we got into a discussion about pies.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you what, the
phone kept ringing, right? Well, we could do that here.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you, we talked about pies for 45 minutes straight. Chuck in Central Illinois, it's your turn. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good.
Hi.
We just happen to be driving through Wisconsin here. We're coming up on Land of Lakes, so I just wondered if there was anything, any place good to eat there, things we should see around Land of Lakes.
Wow, you are really up there, huh? You're near the Michigan border.
Yeah, we're heading up to Copper Harbor.
Oh,
yeah.
I see, okay. Bent's Camp, B-E-N-T-S, is camp is a fishing, what do you want to say, like a fishing camp,
mm-hmm.
but... is known for its food among the locals there.
And that's right at Land of Lakes?
It is going to be a few miles outside of town. I'd buzz into a gas station and just say, where's Bent's Camp? They'll know, because it's right off of Main Highway.
And Jim Packard's giving a thumbs up, too. He likes the food at Bent's Camp.
Oh, good, good. And I've been
like B?
B as in boy.
Okay, great.
Yep. And you're not too far from Boulder Junction either. Boulder Junction is a great community that has good diversity, particularly for its size.
Mm-hmm. So there's a couple places for you, Chuck.
All right, really, really appreciate it. Enjoy your show.
Your trip.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Bent's Camp, yeah. Dave in Black River Falls, your turn. Hi, Dave.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
In Black River Falls, there's probably 15 or 16 historic murals that are painted around town depicting the history of Jackson County. And they're very interesting, and they're done by an artist named Susan Sampson. And though she was the national artist for Budweiser, she grew up on a little farm outside of town here. And if anybody's going through Black River Falls and likes art, I'm sure they'd really appreciate her work.
Oh.
Thanks for mentioning that. Another community with a big emphasis on murals is Ashland.
Mm-hmm.
Ashland has local artists who have depicted local history through their artwork.
And she's also done them for the city of Wisconsin Rapids. They have a number of them, and they like them a little bit bigger over there. I think there's one that's like 16 feet by 32 feet.
Wow, so, that's huge.
Yeah, they're something to see. They really are.
Thanks, Dave.
Sure, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Something to see in Black River Falls. How about Bill in Platteville? What's on your mind, Bill?
Well, besides Platteville having the university and the mining museum, I wanted to let you know about a business that's just opened in the last 3 weeks called the Driftless Market.
Oh, tell us more about that.
Well, we've used a co-op model, but it's not a co-op, to bring fresh produce and organics to the Platteville area. We've got a certified kitchen. We do lunches and sandwiches. The soups are all homemade. It's, you know, kind of a limited fare, but we always have a vegetarian option. And we have artwork in the front.
Oh.
So the idea is to work with our local vegetable producers and stimulate the economy and, you know, bring some healthy options besides what's already there to Platteville.
What, and where are you located? Downtown?
Right downtown on Main Street in a historic building.
Very cool.
That's a great component to a trip that also could include a stop a little further southwest at the new National Brewery Museum in Potosi.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We just highlighted a catfish chowder from a fisherman or fisher person in Potosi the other day. So it's we've had a lot of great community support, and we're really excited about it.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it very much. In fact, in your book, the Potosi Museum, it's one of the things you've got in your book.
Right, because at the time the book was written, the project was just like in the works, but it opened just this month, and so it's one of the state's brand new attractions. And the people of Potosi have worked so hard to get it there, and then also to be challenged by the flooding, because this is a community that is very close to the Mississippi River and had to fight that off, but did, as I understand.
Steve in Milwaukee, hello to you.
Hi. I came into the show late, so maybe if somebody has spoke about this. I've caught some of the cafes you were talking about. There is a place way up north in Bayfield County called the Delta Diner.
Yeah.
That is absolutely fabulous. And was that brought up yet?
Yeah, we talked about it.
Sorry. Okay. And there's another, as far as the cafes go, there's a place in downtown Chitek, which is also very good, the name escapes me, and I don't have my cafe book here with me and all. And then the lady from Viroqua who mentioned something about fair trade, for people in the Milwaukee area, if you're interested in fair trade, and speaking, Larry mentioned something about high gas prices keeping people at home, there's a couple of fair trade stores there in Milwaukee. One's called the Four Corners of the World on 54th and Valete, and they've got all of the fair trade items from all over the world and clothing and all kinds of interesting things. And there's a couple of years ago, a lady came out with a book of all of the small town cafes in Milwaukee or in Wisconsin. And if you can get a copy of that, I would highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good book, Cafe Wisconsin.
Cafe Wisconsin. I wrote a little foreword in that book.
Oh.
Steve, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it, as being a cafe aficionado myself. Mary, it's always a pleasure. And your book, Sidetracked in Wisconsin, we can get copies of that pretty much anywhere.
That's right. It should be in local bookstores, Amazon.com, wherever you would shop to find books. If it's not stock, they can order it.
They sure can. And there's lots of it's a great book to have, because it allows you to, wherever you're going in Wisconsin, you can take a look through this book and you're going to find something nearby.
Thanks, Mary. Larry.
Thank you, Mary. Mary Bergen of Madison, she writes the Roads Traveled column. It's in 11 newspapers, daily newspapers in Wisconsin, so you're going to see that. But I hope you'll get a chance to see that column, because it's a lot of fun to read. But she's got a lot condensed here into her book, Sidetracked in Wisconsin. Pleasure to have her. We'll get her back, especially when her new book comes out about food. What's the title of that new one again?
Hungry for Wisconsin.
Hungry for Wisconsin. That'll be out late August, early September. We'll have her back then and talk some more with her. Coming up, though, we're going to talk about developing a sustainable bioenergy economy with Phil Robertson. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.